Does that look about right? It's amazing when we look at the topic of expectations. It can be a very different story depending on what we're talking about. But do you feel like everyone's counting on you to be a hero and a coach and an entertainer and the manager of a household full of details? Even an example of grace, elegance, and poise. All of this and so much more. Well, where do all those expectations come from? I'm convinced that a lot of the expectations we deal with today are actually related to our contemporary context. We live in a world that's very different than it used to be. We virtually worship busyness. We seem to think that is all by itself a virtue in its own, that somehow being busy has value, regardless of what it is that we're doing. There's also the myth that not only can we do anything we want, we should do anything we want. And we should do everything that's expected of us. We should never have the right to say no. The right answer should always be yes. That seems to be the world that we live in. From the time we're very small, we're told in school and maybe even at home, you can do and be anything you want as long as you want it bad enough. Right? Come on, reach your potential. That's a powerful message, but unfortunately, it's not all that biblical. It's really not a very biblical message. Those decisions aren't ours to make. Those decisions are God's. He chooses what's right for our lives. He chooses what expectations are built into His plan for us. That's not other people's job, and it's not ours either. That's God's job. You know, our job is to exercise our free will by prayerfully seeking to walk in step with His Holy Spirit. And as He leads us to follow in His will, in His timing, and in His provision. That's our job. The reality is that we can be and do anything that He wants, not anything that we want. Or anybody else, for that matter. In anything that is His will for us, He will make a way and help us to walk in it. So, moms, wouldn't it be nice to turn back the clock? What would it have been like? Have you ever thought about that? What would it have been like, especially in terms of expectations, if we could go back 30 years, maybe 50 years, even 70 years to a time when life was so much different than it is today. Maybe moms back then didn't feel the same kind of pressure that moms do today. Well, here's a quick flashback. We can take a peek at what was going on a few years back.
Thank you. Remember, a good wife always knows her place.
What a relief, huh? Just think how much easier that would have been. Oh, my goodness. Well, expectations were probably a problem back then, too. Maybe we need to go back a bit further. Rather than going back, say, 50 or 70 years, maybe we need to go back about 3,000 years. Well, let's take a look at the book of Proverbs. We're going to look at Proverbs 31, verses 10 to 31. This is a passage that was written to King Lemuel. King Lemuel's mother wrote him some wisdom that he passed along in this proverb. And we'll see what she had to say about what it is to choose a good wife for her son, King Lemuel. Let's take a look, starting at verse 10. Who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She is more precious than rubies. Her husband can trust her, and she will greatly enrich his life. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She finds wool and flax and busily spins it. She is like a merchant's ship, bringing her food from afar. She gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her household and plan the day's work for her servant girls. She goes to inspect a field and buys it. With her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She's an energetic and strong, a hard worker. She makes sure her dealings are profitable. Her lamp burns late into the night. Her hands are busy spinning thread, her fingers twisting fiber. She extends a helping hand to the poor and opens her arms to the needy. She has no fear of winter for her household, for everyone has warm clothes. She makes her own bedspreads. She dresses in fine linen and purple gowns. Her husband is well known at the city gates, where he sits with all civic leaders. She makes belted linen garments and sashes to sell to the merchants. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. When she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instructions with kindness. She carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. Well, sounds to me like expectations were pretty high back then, too. Wow. So, you know, it's interesting to know that in conservative Jewish homes, it's not uncommon for husbands to recite this passage to their wives on Sabbath evenings. Well, that sounds like a wonderful idea, doesn't it? No, nothing like rallying the troops before a hard week of work. Well, let me, a hint to the guys. If you're going to do that, keep yourselves just to verses 28 and 29. The Proverbs 31 woman, whatever that means, sounds like she'd put Martha Stewart to shame. You know, if today's expectations seem unreasonable, and expectations in the 50s were maybe not entirely that much better, and expectations 3,000 years ago don't seem to offer a lot of relief, what alternative is there? Well, maybe we need to take a little deeper look at what actually this passage is saying and who it's saying it to. That's pretty important. And then in the end, how does it relate to our context today? Well, let's take a look. Well, first of all, This passage is what's called an acrostic poem. You know, most of Proverbs was written as poetry. It's not really a textbook. It's not a narrative, right? It's poetry expressing thoughts and concepts and principles. And it needs to be interpreted appropriately and accordingly. An acrostic poem means that each verse begins with the next letter in the alphabet, in the Hebrew alphabet. So if you were reading this in Hebrew, the first verse would start with Aleph, and the second verse with Bet, and you go through the whole Hebrew alphabet. Or I don't remember if you get all the way through. I forget off the top of my head. My Hebrew's a little rusty. But that's what it is. It's a poem specifically constructed on the alphabet. And it's expressing some things, but we need to be careful that it's not necessarily meant to be a checklist or a recipe for how to be a Proverbs 31 woman, right? Again, whatever that means. Another thought, this book of Proverbs primarily focuses on motivating its readers to live wisely, to live humble with humble dependence on God, which is wisdom, versus arrogant independence, which is folly. That's the overarching theme of Proverbs. Humble dependence on God is wisdom. Arrogant independence from God is folly. Which path are we going to walk? Well, let's choose wisdom, humble dependence on God. And because this poem closes the book of Proverbs, it actually summarizes many of the principles of wisdom that are found in the earlier chapters. So, just a heads up to the guys, Proverbs 31 applies to you and me just as much as it does to the ladies. You thought maybe you were off the hook, I know. Father's Day's coming in June, right? We'll get our turn. So here's a key question. Is this passage referring to an amazing individual who literally embodied all the qualities and activities that are listed there? Almost certainly not. Almost certainly not. It's far more likely that this is a collection of ideals expressed as a poem regarding the key principles of wisdom and what they might have looked like if they were lived out in the life of one wealthy Hebrew wife whose husband was one of the leading elders in their city government. This is what it might have looked like. So, ladies, no one is going to expect you to check all the boxes on this list, right? I hope. But it's still true that this list does define some ideals that apply to all of us, not just special people with superpowers. We're all in the same boat on this, the guys and the gals of all walks of life. So let's take a quick look at six key principles of wisdom that are found in this passage. Represented by this theoretical, virtuous, and capable wife, but applicable to all of us. So first of all, it says that she is a hard worker. She works hard and fights the battles of life in order to bless her family. That's one of her primary focuses, to bless her family. And that's a wonderful focus. Kind of a sidelight here, it talks about her selling clothing. This would almost certainly have been made of wool clothing, and this clothing would have been sold for more than 2 months' wages. So this is apparently some pretty nice stuff, and we kind of wonder, well, how much is she bringing in? She's probably making a pretty good living if she can make wool clothing and sell it for 2 months' wages. Now, it's interesting that this visual that we read of this virtuous and capable woman is almost exactly opposite of what the Gentile Greeks would have expected of the women in their homes. their women were expected to be silent homebodies. This certainly doesn't fit that model. This lady is out in the world, caring for the needy, running businesses, taking care of the family, overseeing servants, freeing her husband up to be an unpaid politician back in the day. That's quite a different picture than what the Greeks thought a woman's role should be. Another characteristic is trustworthy. She is trustworthy. She's proven herself to be so effective and reliable that her husband leaves the family's prosperity entirely in her hands. She manages the household. And her trustworthiness is what allows him to dedicate himself to public service, likely for little to no income at all. But he's fulfilling the role that apparently, we're going to assume, God has called him to lead and serve the community. And she, in their situation, individually, as a family, she is doing the rest. Now, that situation's probably not common today. I don't think I know anyone in that situation. I guess I could ask Dan Fabian if Roxanne was kind of filling this role while he was down in St. Paul or now as mayor. And I don't know if I don't think he's paid nothing. I don't know what he's paid, but this isn't a common situation. This is a fairly unique story or analogy being used to express these principles. She also is seen as discerning. She makes wise decisions in how she operates her business.